Edward Ed Pastor served as a Democratic congressman in the U.S. House of Representatives for 23 years, retiring in 2015. Pastor started his political career working for Raul Castro, Arizona's first Hispanic governor. He was elected to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in 1976, where he served three terms. Pastor was a founding member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and a member of the International Conservation Caucus. Pastor was born in Claypool, Arizona in 1943, the oldest of three children. He received a scholarship to Arizona State University and was the first in his family to go to college. He graduated from ASU in 1966 with a bachelor's degree in chemistry and went on to teach at North High School in Phoenix. He went back to school for his JD and graduated from ASU's College of Law in 1974. Pastor married his wife Verma and had two children, Laura and Yvonne. In 2016, the House passed a bill to rename a Phoenix post office after Pastor. The building is also home to the Student Center on ASU's downtown Phoenix campus. For KJZZ, I'm Kathy Ritchie.
For more on his career and service, we're joined by Alberto Olivas. He's executive director of the Pastor Center for Politics and Public Service at ASU. Alberto, good morning. Sorry for your loss.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Congressman Pastor had a huge impact on Arizona politics in many ways. And I wonder, what was your initial experience with him? What can you tell us about him?
I actually took students to meet with him in D.C. when he was still serving in Congress. And immediately, if you've ever been there, his office was unlike any other. It was a love letter to Arizona. He was just as gracious as could be. I think the important thing about those kinds of experiences is that someone like Congressman Pastor, because of his nature, he's just so unassuming, so sincere, that I think for a lot of our students who've never met any kind of elected official before, he was really inspiring. He was someone that a lot of students could see. Well, this guy's just like my uncle or my grandpa, you know. So if they could imagine growing up to be like him, they could imagine being in office themselves. And so he was just that kind of welcoming presence.
Humble beginnings in Arizona mining towns, and I'm sure that stuck with him through his career as well.
Exactly, yes.
So when you look at sort of what his legacy has been through Congress, I think one of the things that people remember him for was the ability to bring money back to Arizona for particular projects, specific, be it transportation projects or other development type projects. Are there any that stick out to you as like this was really important, like this was a significant moment in Arizona's growth and development that he was a big part of?
I think one that a lot of people point to is a light rail system that wouldn't have happened without his advocacy. He pushed for that. He secured all the seed funding for it. Light rail along with expansions on Sky Harbor and many other critical infrastructure projects. But I think what I hope he'll be remembered for is not the specific projects, but his leadership legacy in terms of how he got things done. He was incredibly effective in Congress. And widely respected by both Republicans and Democrats because of his direct and his integrity and the way that members of both sides of the aisle knew that they could deal with him straight, that he was going to be straightforward with them and what he said he would deliver on. So he was trusted and admired by members of Congress from both sides of the aisle. And his effectiveness really came from his ability to work well, regardless of ideology or party. And I think that's really what I hope he'll be remembered for, is that he was a leader that was effective because of his ability to work with those that he disagreed with in a collegial and yet impactful way, that he didn't have to be nasty and double-dealing and incivil and those kinds of things. In fact, his strength came from not being those things.
I clearly don't mean this in a pejorative way, obviously the way I'm going to say it. He was sort of the epitome of a politician in that sense. And when we think about good things about politicians, they're not necessarily ideologically driven, and they are into making deals for their communities.
Exactly. Yeah. He didn't care about accruing a lot of trophies in terms of political wins for himself and for his own aggrandizement. He wanted to get things done to fix problems in our state, and he didn't care who got the credit. It's that old saying, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. Well, he was the embodiment of that.
Do you get the sense that he would have, given like what you just said about how he was able to function and not have to be nasty and work with people who disagreed with him, do you think that that was in some way a function of the time in which he was serving? I mean, do you think that would be possible even for him to serve that way in a Congress like we have now?
It's a really good question. That question was brought up a couple of years ago at a State of Our State event that Morrison Institute held. He and Senator John Kyle were both kind of talking about the state of politics in Arizona and the nation. And they both mentioned how when they were serving in those days, it was still the case that members of Congress really had much more opportunity to get to know each other over a longer period of time. And that's much less the case now. And so much of what his style of leadership did depend on him having a trust-based relationship with members of both sides of the aisle, which is more difficult to accomplish now. But I don't think we can just say, well, because of the way Congress works now, that's no longer possible. I think we have to start with electing the kind of leaders that have that kind of mindset, that the important thing is to solve problems, not just advance our party. And then once elected, hold our elected officials accountable to that standard of leadership that Congressman Pastore embodied.
Umberto, just one more question for you. We didn't mention his background as a Latino, and I want to know how significant you think it is that he was there as an example, not just in terms of what we talked about his politics, but his background, the fact that he was a man of Latino descent.
That's complicated to talk about. I think he would say, and his family would say, that he would hope not to be remembered as a Latino political leader, but really as a political leader for the state and the nation. However, that said, I think his culture, his background coming from Miami, Globe Miami area, and his Latino culture gave him an ability to work well with everybody, and amiability and an approachable kind of nature that facilitated a lot of what he sought to do as a leader. But when he created when he gave the gift to ASU to create the Pastore Center for Politics and Public Service, he was very, very clear. He didn't want this to be seen as a center to promote liberal ideology or to promote Latino political issues. He wanted it to be a center for all students, for the whole community, of all ideological stripes, of all cultures, to learn how to work together effectively and engage effectively in politics and community change processes for the benefit of everyone.
Alberto Olivas is Executive Director of the Pastore Center for Politics and Public Service at ASU. Alberto, thank you for helping us remember the late Congressman Ed Pastore. Thanks
again. Thank you for having me.
We're joined by former Congressman and former colleague of his, Matt Salmon. Congressman Salmon, good morning. Thank you for your time and sorry for your loss.
Good morning. Yeah, it was a shock.
So one of the things that Congressman Pastore was so well known for was just being a genial person who was easy to work with. And I wonder, was that the case as a fellow congressman?
Oh, that's the understatement of the century. he was one of the finest people I've ever known, not just in Congress. He was a great individual and somebody that always put Arizona above party or anything else. He was somebody that could also diffuse any tense situation. And there were a few tense situations and times when it got hyper-partisan. And in the middle of it all, Ed would just, you know, make some wisecrack and it would diffuse the situation and lighten everybody up. He was a prince of a man and somebody that I dearly loved.
Are there particular policy areas in which the two of you really seem to be able to work together? You know, your districts were not obviously the same districts, but, you know, same general part of the state. Were you able to work in any particular areas together?
Very much so. We were very unified when it came to water policy and worked very, very closely together. When I left Congress the first time in 2000, I actually worked with him on the light rail in Phoenix, and he was the focal point. You know, he was one of the cardinals on the Appropriations Committee and very, very influential. And, I mean, he was always the go-to guy if you tried to get some kind of a project back to Arizona funded by the federal government. Ed was always, always, always the go-to guy, partly because he really, you know, was tenacious, but also just because he always wanted to do what was right for Arizona.
Congressman, you mentioned how former Congressman Pastore was a genial guy who could really work with both sides. You served in Congress a little more recently than he did. I'm wondering if you see that as something that is missing now, if he would maybe even be able to be that way in the way that Congress is now.
You know, Ed had an uncanny ability to be able to, lighten up the mood in any kind of a situation. I think, you know, guys like him are going to be sorely missed. When I went back, I found that there was a big hole that he left that really hasn't been filled since he left. Guys like him are needed now more than ever. I got to tell you, while there is some bipartisanship that does happen, it doesn't seem to ever get reported. It seems to, only the hard relations between people. I've found though that Ed was never really a partisan kind of guy. He was always just, let's get the job done. Let's take the job seriously, but let's not take ourselves so seriously. And that was, to me, the hallmark of what made Ed so successful.
Yeah, he was renowned to be a real pragmatic person as well. He also was someone who, you talked about certain things like water and light rail, definitely seemed like someone who was focused on getting things back to Arizona, which in some ways has become a pejorative in some ways, if it's just sort of pork and whatnot. But he did seem to be focused on making sure that Arizona got its fair share of what was needed in projects to help the place get better.
Well, and that's been, one of the real issues is that we pay a lot of money in taxes from Arizona. And so many times, we just don't compete. And I think it's a big mistake. And Ed did, too. That, that money's going to get spent one way or the other. Once it's appropriated and committed, we ought to be there fighting to make sure that it goes to Arizona and not to Texas or New York or California. And Ed understood that. He got that, our role is to pass laws and that kind of stuff, but it's also to fight for Arizona. And our taxpayers deserve to be, given the same kind of accord everybody else in the country gets, and Ed got that. This dialogue we've heard from a lot of folks about how evil it is to try to, bring home financial support for the state. I disagree with that, and I know Ed did too. Our job is to fight like wildcats. That, by the way, that was not a U of A reference. For our state, and to make sure that our taxpayers weren't short-shrifted, and I think that's smart policy, and Ed did too. And the one thing that I will say about Ed is that I never, ever, ever saw him lose his cool. Not with anybody. I never saw him yell at anybody. I never saw him get out of sorts. I was with him a lot. And so I would have thought I would have seen that side of him if it even existed. He was just a good-hearted guy that really cared about people and was always trying to do the right thing. And that's just not real common in politics to me.
All right. That's former Congressman Matt Salmon remembering his former colleague Ed Pastore, who passed away earlier. Congressman Salmon, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it.
Matt, thank you.
As we've been talking about today during the show, former Congressman Ed Pastore has passed away. Governor Doug Ducey called the representative, quote, an Arizona trailblazer and a true public servant. A trailblazer because he was the first Hispanic from Arizona to serve in the U.S. House, and a public servant because of his work on light rail, Sky Harbor Airport, even his previous work on the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. Tommy Espinoza, also well known for his community work as president and CEO of the Raza Development Fund, joins us now for a few minutes to talk about the legacy of Congressman Pastore. Mr. Espinoza, good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
So Ed Pastore served Arizona for many years, both in the U.S. House, on the County Board of Supervisors. Is there one memory that comes to mind specifically for you about Ed Pastore, about his commitment to Arizona?
Ed was one of the, what I would consider one of the pioneers in the political, especially on the Latino front, and breaking ground as it relates to representing not just Latinos, but I think the state of Arizona, and obviously in his different roles as County Board of Supervisor as obviously as a congressman, but also was one of the initial board members of Chicanos por la Causa, obviously, which is one of the prominent organizations in Arizona. And I think the other is that what really stands out in my mind with Ed, and sometimes people didn't realize this, is that the congressman was probably the driving force for the light rail system into the Phoenix area. And obviously some of the work that has been done on the river bottom as it relates to getting that, at least in a position where people can enjoy the, you know, the bottom of the Salt River in a way that, that I think is respectful of the desert area that we have. But more importantly, I think one of the things that Ed, in my mind, his legacy is, you know, Ed was never considered a, what I would consider a outspoken activist in the sense of, you know, not that he didn't in his younger age participate in some of the demonstrations, but Ed had a very quiet demeanor to him that allowed what I would consider the business community to have some trust in him. Our community is you know, back in the great, great old days of the Chicano movement, where he was trusted. And of course, he had a legal background and was educated as an attorney. So Ed used that whole, what I would consider his demeanor of being able to pull people to the table that most of the time would not talk to each other. So he's going to be sorely lost. I know that the mayor had appointed him to the transportation committee here in the city of Phoenix for light rail and other things that he was involved in.
I want to ask about something that you just mentioned, which is how Congressman Pastore is able to bring together different stakeholders who might not have a lot of agreement on issues, might not usually talk to each other about issues. Based on your experience seeing him do that, how is he able to bring such disparate groups of people and disparate people together to try to get stuff done?
You know, what one of the things that stands out in my mind about Ed is that you could catch him on a weekend when he'd fly back, and obviously he was always flying back and forth, on the base, on the softball field in Laveen, you know, having a beer with the guys and the ladies that are into softball, and have that ability to be down to earth with folks in the community, and then turn around and be at the Phoenix Country Club with the CEO of APS or one of the airlines, and have that same demeanor, but in a way that allowed him to be able to communicate to that circle of corporate America. And then the other part of him was that he had a legal mind. So, I mean, you know, I think people many times underestimated it in the sense that I didn't realize what his background was. And the other is that he was just instinctively an organizer. I mean, he worked quite a number of years in the city of Guadalupe, which is to many of us a very difficult community many times in politics because of a variety of different folks there. But Ed had, again, he had that one demeanor of being able to connect with people on a one-on-one basis and be trusted. So it's a gift, you know. Not too many folks have that ability to do that.
Just had one more final question for you, Mr. Espinoza, and that is, you know, we tossed around the phrase public servant a lot, and for some people, almost it's an eye roller, but in the case of Ed Pastore, it was anything but. I wonder, why do you think he wanted to be a public servant?
You know, Ed came out of the mining community, and I've always admired the leadership that's come out of Miami Globe area. But you know what? The likelihood is that I'm sure the formation at home of you know, speaking out for the worker in the mines and then coming to the university during the period of time that the civil rights movement was hot and moving, I think Ed just took that at heart as what I call a servant leader in his ability to take his education, his background, working in the mines and then obviously in the valley. And also working with the farm workers, you know, he had a heart for Cesar Chavez and that whole group during that period of time. So Ed, to some degree, pulled all that together, and it was reflective on his ability to move things in Congress, and obviously bring things services to the state of Arizona and to the city of Phoenix and his district.
Tommy Espinoza, president and CEO of the Raza Development Fund. Thanks for helping us remember the late Congressman Ed Pastor.
Thank you.